This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
You've got tremendous love for this country, Kevin, and the people of Idaho. And anybody that has had a chance to be able to get to know you, even just listening to you on the radio, knows you got a heart of gold, man. And we all appreciate it.
Fighting for Idaho.
Hey, thanks again, Kevin, and thanks to the audio. You know, we appreciate you and the community, obviously. Appreciate you guys all the time. I'm just another one.
Fighting for you.
Everybody isn't Kevin Miller, and I'm not just saying this. I said this behind your back. You are one of the best in the entire country. I know that for a fact. But you are an exception, sadly, a big exception to what our industry has become.
Boise's Mr. Right, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, good morning. Thank you all for joining us. 7:05. Currently, it is 69 in Meridian. Don't forget, East Junior High School, we're coming. You know, Big and Rich were in town. They had that big song, Coming to Your City. Well, we're coming to your school tomorrow. Hey, that's an idea. Who do we have on staff that has a band? I don't know if Liberal Steve can carry a tune. I don't know if Tea Party Bob can carry a tune. We'll have to find out. Joined now by our great friend Emily Wither, Fox News Radio, live from Jerusalem at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Emily.
Hi, good morning. Are you going to ask me to be in the band as well?
I would love for you to be in the band. Are you familiar with the song Coming to Your City? Big and Rich?
No.
Well, you'd have to learn the song.
I'm sure I could learn it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure I could learn the song. I could make an attempt to learn the song.
Do you like country music?
I don't know very much country music. It's not really a style of music that you are exposed to very much over here. Let's just put it that way.
That would be in the Middle East or in Europe?
In the Middle East, but in Europe too. I mean, there is some country music, but it's definitely not as widespread or as popular as it is in the States.
Well, that's the problem over there. They need some more cowboys.
Yep. That would definitely achieve peace in the Middle East, I think.
Boy, Emily, I don't know what to make of the Syrian rebels. We've got the Free Syrian Army. We know Assad's a thug. We were just talking about it before we went live to you. We've got ISIS. We've got all these other groups. How do you make sure you're arming the good guys? I'm sure that's a concern for a lot of Western governments.
Yes, it most certainly is. And I think some of the arguments that we hear is that the opposition on the ground, I'm not talking about the political opposition, but the fighters on the ground, are pretty well known by this stage because the civil war has been raging there for over 3 years. And so there's been plenty of time to gather intelligence about the different groups who are fighting inside Syria. The problem is, though, is that the situation is changing so quickly. Different territories are captured, then recaptured. People change their alliances. And some of the moderate rebels on the ground complain that fighters leave them simply because they might like the fact that ISIS and these extremist groups have such great success on the battlefield, so they might switch allegiance because of that. But in some cases, I've heard rebels complain that it's for economical reasons, because the moderate rebels in the Free Syrian Army, it doesn't actually pay that well. And if you join these more extremist groups or if you join ISIS, then your salary is going to shoot up by a couple hundred dollars a month. So this is what I've heard some rebels say when it comes to who they're going to fight with, which paints a very complicated picture on the ground. We know that Saudi Arabia is part of this train and equip plan that the president is pushing when it comes to moderate Syrian rebels. They have offered to help train some of them. The details are still being worked out, though, including how long it would take to even vet the fighters to make sure they are the right people, and also how much it's going to cost. We heard from Pentagon officials, and they said they thought more than 5,000 Syrian fighters were expected to be trained at this center in Saudi Arabia in the first year, but the center could hold up to 10,000 fighters. We don't really have much more detail other than that at the moment. I've also heard some opposition complain that training is just not enough. And what's the point in training 5,000 fighters when there are estimates of over more than 30,000 fighters that are allied with this Islamic State group?
Emily, let's say the Free Syrian Army, ISIS, whomever, is successful in overthrowing Assad. And as you've detailed in your reporting for us here at 580 KIDO over the years, Assad is brutal. He brutalizes his people. You know, what would be the plan to replace, what type of government would replace it? I mean, we see the issue in Iraq where that government that was put in is unstable. Would we see more of the same as we've seen in Libya, Egypt, in Syria?
Well, that is a very big concern, which is why, if you listen, that the debate has very much moved away from toppling the Assad regime, and it's focusing on trying to defeat ISIS. While no one really supports President Assad internationally, apart from a couple of his allies, such as Russia and Iran, everyone's a little bit afraid of what would come after President Assad, because the answer is no one really knows at the moment. There isn't an opposition in waiting that's based in Turkey, but they have been criticized for infighting, for not being organized enough, and for not really being in a position to even take over the reins of power inside Syria. And I was actually speaking to a Syrian opposition member earlier today. He is based in Turkey. He was part of that opposition coalition, and he left saying that it wasn't organized enough, everyone wants to achieve different things, and that it didn't actually speak for the Syrian people. Now, this is just an opinion of one opposition member, but we've heard countless reports of not a very united front when it comes to the opposition. So that raises a concern that there isn't a strong enough government in waiting that the West supports to replace the Assad regime. So if Assad did fall, it runs the risk of some kind of power vacuum being created that these extremist groups like ISIS might try and take advantage of, which would be a nightmare to the international community. So I think the Israelis sum it up quite well. If you speak to officials here, they don't like the Assad regime, but they also don't like what could come after. So that they're pretty stuck on who they think that they should be supporting in this situation.
I think the final thought here is how active the American forces, our forces, will be on the ground there. Obviously, the airstrikes are going on. It's kind of unusual when you have the U.S. government saying to Syria, don't shoot down our planes in their own airspace without coordinating with the Syrian government. It's very confusing.
It is definitely confusing, and it certainly poses a little bit of a risk, because Syria has asked the U.S. Syria has asked the U.S. that they request permission if they carry out airstrikes inside Syria, and it doesn't appear as if the U.S. administration is going to do that, because they don't want to be seen with working with the regime. They don't want the regime to be there. They certainly don't want to cooperate with it now. We have to assume, though, that these airstrikes are actually going to indirectly help President Assad. President Assad is battling ISIS, other extremist groups, and moderate rebel groups. And the Assad regime will want to reclaim some of the territory that ISIS is holding. So these airstrikes will indirectly help the government to try and recapture some of these areas. So it will be in their favor. Of course, they have released a number of threats and they've asked for permission. That's not unexpected. But I don't think it's believed that they would want to start shooting down U.S. aircraft. That would obviously cause them to be in the firing line in a situation that could actually help them in the long run.
Emily Wither, Google it, coming to your city, big and rich. We're expecting that the next time we talk to you.
Okay, I will. I will start swatting up and practicing.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Emily Wither joining us exclusively from the Middle East. Kevin Miller here at 580-KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Do you believe it's time for boots on the ground? Our other big story, what to do about the NFL? And we'll eventually dovetail into what to do about Adrian Peterson and child abuse. Joining us now, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, the Facebook champion of this program. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Well, do I have an issue to pick with you today? Great job with the Marconi Award, but what's this business about the medium market? Don't these people, these liberals and the NAB, know that we go out and reach people in CUNA? We go to Emmett? I was driving all the way to Rigby yesterday, and I got your program all the way in Wendell, Idaho. What's this medium market stuff?
Well, everybody has to start somewhere, number one. And don't forget Wilder as well. We love Wilder.
There
we're big
you go.
And Wilder.
Yes. Absolutely. So, anyway, congratulations on winning this great award. There's nobody here that I know that's more worthy of it than you.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. And, again, it's a reflection as we write about. By the way, you can check out a great blog at KIDOAM.com or 580KIDO.com. It's you know, basically it's how we won the Marconi. And it's everyone's award because this is a community effort. And we see that with the rescue mission, the Canyon County Animal Shelter, with our gun issues and everything else. So props to everybody for that. Now,
I'm glad you said that, because just like they do with the Stanley Cup, allowing the players to take the cup from
yes.
place to place, you ought to be giving that to Patriot Ray, to Liberty Linda, to
Tea
Liberal
Party Bob.
Steve. There you go, Tea Party Bob. I mean, let them sleep with this.
You know, I've thought about that, and I will tell you this. If you are a business owner, and if you want to, and here's a plug for this program, we should have a five-year Kevin Miller anniversary party, number one, and number two, a Marconi celebration party. You would get 50 to 100 people in the morning. So, you know, we need a business to host this. Maybe the Morton Law Offices, we could have it there.
I think we have a closet big enough for that.
Yeah. You know, like whether it's our friends at Chick-fil-A or wherever else, I could see that you could have people posing with the Marconi, and they could be put on the website.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's an idea.
Maybe. And if people are interested in having us somewhere, we would love to just contact me, and we'll make it happen. Joining us now, Tom Munns, TomMunns.com, Munns Tom Twitter at 580KIDO.
Well, if I could talk to my wife about it, we'd have it here.
In Tom Munns'
house. Good
morning,
house, Kevin. Yeah. Congratulations on your macaroni award.
Yeah, thank you, Tom.
You know, I was I wanted to talk about this ISIS, this imaginary enemy, and Obama.
Now wait a minute. You're saying that ISIS is imaginary?
Yeah, think about this for a second, though. I mean, we play romper room and all of this weird shenanigans. Now we arm Syrian rebels, and then we're going to go against them, and then we arm ISIS. We've already been known on record for arming and training these people. So we play this, like, what do you call it when you all sit in a circle? Duck, duck, goose or whatever, and everybody, one day they're the enemy and
duck,
the other day
duck,
they're not.
Duck, duck, goose? You're talking foreign policy to duck, duck, goose?
Pretty much. So I guess what I'm talking about is the constitutional understanding. Obama talked about ISIS 2 weeks ago or a month ago, didn't even have a plan. Now all of a sudden we're bombing them already. You know, anybody in the world that understands how this nation's supposed to work understands there has to be a declaration of war by Congress. It doesn't involve the UN. It doesn't involve anybody else. It involves our own nation, our own national sovereignty, a declaration of war in the common defense of this nation. We have not been attacked.
Now hold on here. Let me hit you with this, Tom, because I want you to listen to this and then please respond here at 580KIDO.
Your evil alliance with America, which continues to strike the Muslims of Iraq and most recently bombed the Haditha Dam, will only accelerate your destruction.
You're saying that's made up.
Oh, who's to say that it isn't? And, Kevin, what I'm saying here is, look.
They chop people's heads off.
Think of this for a second, okay? Look.
No, wait a minute. They chop people's heads off.
Where are you getting your information from is my first thing. And second of all is how do you define this? We have to be very careful about this. We can't get our emotions involved in this thing. We have to understand, number one, we have to understand the credibility of where this came from. Number two, we have to understand what do we expect when we go into these countries and we spend years and years and years in these places telling them that they need to be telling them what form of government would be. It would be like China coming here telling us, well, you need to be a socialist republic. Where do we get the authority in our long-standing entanglements to be able to tell other countries what form of government they're supposed to have?
All right, let's go.
It defies absolute logic to me.
All right, we'll go to Mr. Logic, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law.
Let me help you translate what he's trying to say here. He's saying that this is, in lawyer terms, alleged acts of beheadings. What we're seeing on the Internet with people losing their heads isn't really happening. Is that what you're saying, Tom?
The first part of what you're saying is right. I'm not saying that it isn't. I'm saying that we have to, these are alleged.
And alleged? The guy's missing his head.
This country is running on fear.
The guy's missing his head. How is that alleged?
How do you know it wasn't made up?
Because he's dead.
My point is this, Kevin. This is about America's involvement in being the world's police. Don't get caught on the fact that it's a beheading. It's not an attack on this nation.
So you want to wait until another 9/11 occurs before we get involved. Is that what you're saying?
No, I want people to pay attention to the Constitution, and if they're going to swear an oath to it and swear that this is our form of government, then we better start understanding what it means. It doesn't mean that we act in fear, all scared. This country has got its tail between its legs. we're running, scrambling around, doing what everybody else wants. We want the United Nations and the resolutions and listening to McCain and all this kind of stuff. That's not the way the Constitution works.
All right, Tom, thank you for the call. Let's get to traffic now at 580KIDO. Good morning.
Weekday evenings at 7. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
That guy should never be on the field again, and I don't want to hear about how he grew up, what he learned. This was a whipping of a four-year-old boy, for God's sake. And all I'm telling you right now, that is sickness to me.
Kevin Miller here with you, talking about a serious topic. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, in lieu of what's going on with Adrian Peterson, Ray Rice, the NFL. If we can do a public service this morning to stop child abuse, to enlighten people what is abuse, what is discipline, that's what we're here for. But Mr. Morton, good to have you with us.
Well, thank you for having me, Kevin.
And you had a chance to do some legal research last night concerning what is and what isn't child abuse in Idaho.
Well, in Idaho, we're governed by both state and federal standards, and there's been a lot of discussion all over the internet and various blogs and chat rooms dealing with what was appropriate or what is appropriate in the disciplining of one's child. Idaho has very clear directives on what constitutes child abuse and neglect. And one thing that you may not be aware, the duties that we all have with respect to reporting acts of child abuse and neglect. Each one of us in Idaho have a mandatory reporting requirement under the Idaho Code to report acts of child abuse, abandonment, or neglect if suspected. And if we don't, we can be charged.
So you're saying, I know that when I was trained as a teacher, educators have a responsibility. They don't have a choice. So you're saying here in the state of Idaho, that if we suspect abuse, neglect, anything going on with kids, we have a duty to do this. Otherwise, we can be charged?
That's correct. Everyone. Doctors, lawyers.
But regular everyone. Citizens, too?
Regular citizens. Everybody. The report has to be made if we see evidences of physical abuse or neglect of a child. And those signs of physical abuse are basically any marks or injuries to a child when there's no reasonable explanation, a pattern perhaps of repeated injuries, and or disclosure by the child that he or she was hurt by an adult. You know, signs of neglect also include living conditions that are health or safety hazardous, a child that has nothing to eat or appears to be hungry and underweight, and also a child that has been left at home alone.
Well, you know, that's good to know. Let's go to the phones. Linda and Emmett joins us now at 580KIDO. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Kevin. With this business with the NFL, and the more it goes on, the more I'm inclined to go along with what Boomer Esiason has said, you know, that they should be not playing until this stuff is adjudicated in the court of law. And I agree with him. I don't think Adrian Peterson should play this next week. I think until this child abuse case is taken into the courts and he has been found innocent or guilty by a group of his peers, he shouldn't play. All they're doing is, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod, yeah, we know what happened, but come on back in because you're one of our favorite guys. That's bullshit. Oops.
You got to go. Can't say that word on the air. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, you know that. You know, is this, do you buy Adrian Peterson's defense?
Well, I don't. We've heard of repeated incidents of...
And his defense being, for people not understanding it, that this happened to him as a kid, this is the only discipline he knows.
And also, it's a realm of culture, where he grew up, that this is how how adults treat their kids. You know, if they're online, you give them a butt whooping. And
now you're either going to have to put your headphones on or take them off because we're getting feedback.
Here we go. How's that?
Thank you very much. This is why we're the media market, because we're so informal here at 580KIDO. So you're not buying his defense. Hey, it's how I was treated. Charles Barkley saying that's how it's done down there. That's not a legitimate defense.
You know, growing up, and I remember my first year of college, we talked about in the child development classes that we were required to take. It was good, easy credit for athletes to take. And
is that like basket weaving?
Pretty much. But it was interesting. A professor asked the question first day of class. First question he asked, he said, how many of you have ever been the subject of corporal punishment? And he said, for those of you who may be athletics or involved in athletics, let me explain that. How many of you have ever been spanked? And of course, I think almost the entire class raised their hands. And he said, in this class, we're going to talk about alternatives to spanking and raising a family and getting what you want, you know, from your children. And I thought, well, that's interesting, you know, because I was raised at a time where spanking was normal with respect to switches of the type and kind that you saw with Adrian Peterson. And I do understand what he's saying as far as the culture down there and also of the time. But, you know, you have to grow up. You grow beyond it. You know, those type of things are totally inappropriate today.
Any type of corporal punishment?
Well, when you're showing marks or injuries to a child of the type and kind that are involved in this case, yeah, the health and welfare is going to step in. And we're required to report that. And under the federal standards, an act of abuse is defined as any recent act or failure to act on the part of a parent or caretaker which results in death, serious physical or emotional harm, sexual abuse or exploitation, or an act or failure to act which presents an imminent risk of serious harm. And it's one thing to spank a child, but when you're ripping the flesh, you know, so to speak, you know, these are elements that's considered the child is in imminent risk of serious harm. And in the state of Idaho, if this happens, you're going to see officers taking charge of these children and the Department of Health and Welfare coming in with their social workers and removing the children from the home.
Right, but we get back to the point, 19 states still allow corporal punishment in schools. When is it discipline? When is it abuse? Alan L. Morton, Kevin Miller, attorney at law. Kevin Miller, not attorney at law. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. We'll talk next about this. We'll take your phone calls at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Which camp are you in, the Boomer Esiason camp or the Charles Barkley camp? Let's quickly take a listen.
I'll tell you what. You want to know what the best next step is? That guy should never be on the field again. And I don't want to hear about how he grew up, what he learned. This was a whipping of a four-year-old boy, for God's sake. And all I'm telling you right now, that is sickness to me. And
I'm from the South. Whipping is, we do that all the time. Every black parent in the South is going to be in jail under those circumstances.
Would every parent in Idaho be in jail? We'll talk about it next, 580KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
My father was an alcoholic. Mean drunk. He'd come home hammered, looking to wail on somebody. So I'd provoke him so he wouldn't go after my mother and little brother. Interesting nights were when he wore his rings.
He used to just put a wrench, a stick, and a belt on the table and just say, choose.
Well, I gotta go with the belt there, Vanna.
I used to go with the wrench.
Why the wrench?
Because f*** him, that's why.
580KIDO, let's go to the phones. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, as we continue on talking about what is discipline and what is abuse. Brandon, good morning. You're on 580KIDO. Good morning, Brandon.
Good morning. First off, congratulations on that well-deserved recognition.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Second, the attorney mentioned serious injury, and that term serious injury can encompass almost anything. I've seen people get they had a DUI, and it was called serious injury because somebody sprained an ankle. And I don't really consider that serious injury. So I think that that term is way too broad. First off, it, for me, a serious injury is breaking a bone or being hospitalized. And I'm not trying to take away that this four-year-old had lacerations or whatever. I saw the pictures of it, too, and it's tough to look at. But at the same time, I don't think that the state really needs to come in most cases, and stop a parent from using corporal punishment. I mean, the attorney mentioned that when he went to college, a teacher there said, we should use this other stuff. Well, look at the generation of kids that has been brought up without spanking. And I'm not a bag on this generation kid, but I don't think that you can say they are as respectful. School violence is up. Violence among youth is up. Violence among people 18 to 30 is up. And this is the generation where we stop spanking.
See, I find myself agreeing with Brandon there, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law.
Well, there are two things that he makes comment that I think is important to talk about, and that is it's not so much as the element of serious harm being raised in order for the protective services to be involved, but the imminent risk of serious harm. And that's where the discretion comes in. I'm an attorney that represents guardian ad litems for free, and I've seen cases both ways where I've represented guardians who give a voice to the children in these legal proceedings where, in fact, the state, in the opinion of the guardian ad litem, went too far. And we actually had a case where essentially the police took the children out of the home, gave them over to the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare simply because the dishes were dirty and there was a mess in the house. And, of course, we fought rigorously to reunify the family. But in most cases, we see situations where children have been abused because the parents have been under the influence of methamphetamines or some other drug addiction or cooking meth in the home. You know, these pose serious imminent risk. So that's the thing that we wrestle with. But ultimately, it results in the children being taken into protective custody, and then legal proceedings occur where a guardian ad litem is appointed by the court to represent the children, and then investigations done, and then show cause hearings
right,
occur.
But back to Brandon's point, and Brandon, jump in here at 580KIDO. See, I believe you. I don't think that there is the discipline that we have grown up with. I don't think there's a respect for authority.
Well, I totally agree with that, and I grew up being spanked, and in fact, my father used a belt that was about 2 inches thick, and he only had to do it probably 3 times in my life. And I remember if he went for his belt, I straightened up right away. And you can call that fear, intimidation, whatever. I didn't do a lot of bad stuff because I knew that belt might be coming. Now, with my kids, I started off thinking that I would spank my son. It had no effect on him. If I spanked him, it just made him mad, and he was more likely to do whatever I had done, what I had spanked him for. If I talked to him, he would straighten out. So it didn't. I went away from that. There was no use in that for me. But I don't. If I see a parent swat their kid, I think it's probably, if as long as the kid straightens out, they probably deserve it.
Well, let's be clear here. The law doesn't prohibit parents from using corporal punishment or spanking in the terms of what's reasonable. You know, I've raised also 5 kids to adulthood. I've got 7 grandkids. But we've chosen a different path in dealing with our grandkids, consistent with our children's decisions not to use corporal punishment. But these kids use basically timeouts. They use other methods of discipline. I think the issue is what's missing with spanking or discipline. I think it's the concept of spare the rod, spoil the child doesn't necessarily mean that you have to spank the kids. You need to institute a realm of rules and consequences.
Let's go to thank you, Brandon. Thank you. We appreciate it. Let's go to Brian at 580KIDO. Good morning, Brian.
Thank you for taking my call, and congratulations on winning my Corny Award.
Thank you, brother.
Kevin. My question for Mr. Morton is, there's also Idaho Code 18-1501, which is endangerment of a child, or felony injury to a child, I guess, and there's a guy in Meridian last week that did that to his kid, and the kid's fighting for his life in the hospital. Sad to hear about that. You noted that when a person suspects child abuse or neglect of a child or something, would that also, child endangerment scenarios come into play? Is it a responsibility, to your knowledge, of a citizen, if they see that happening to other children, to report that endangerment that they see going on?
Right. The code section that you're referring to is a part of the criminal code. And obviously, anytime you see any element of neglect or abuse, we're all required to report it to the Department of Health and Welfare or to the police.
Okay. And in regards to that, where you have injury to a child, even if there's potential injury that they placed the child in a scenario where bodily harm could come about to that child, would that, and they knowingly have done that, would that also count as in that regard?
It would. It's our obligation to report it. It's the Department of Health and Welfare's obligation to investigate it.
Fair enough, Brian. Thank you for the call. Let's get you to traffic now. 70 degrees and call.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
7:54, K. Miller in the morning. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law with us. Let's take a look at if you suspect child abuse, if you can prevent child abuse from happening. What are some numbers if people have any questions?
Well, if you know of a situation that you feel that qualifies for a report to the Department of Health and Welfare, the number that you should call is 334-KIDS or 334-5437. And for those who have a cell phone, the number 211 gets you immediate access as well. But again, this is where you have a concern, you want to alert them of a referral of potential abuse or neglect. They'll then notify the family of the referral, but they will keep your name anonymous. They will assess the situation.
Will they really keep your name anonymous?
They do. They're required by law. They are required by law in the assessment process. And they offer services to the family to reduce the safety concerns. You know, and so not every referral results in a prosecution or taking the kids away. It's about helping parents deal with these situations and give them a better way or an alternative way of addressing helping the children.
How big of a problem is child abuse here in the Treasure Valley?
I don't know of the statistics, but I do know this. The growing problems that we have in the courts with protective services is epidemic proportions. We now have more cases than we have people to staff them, and we're looking for volunteers through CASA to train and educate to help become guardian ad litems. We're looking for lawyers to volunteer their time. And I challenge every lawyer, regardless of specialty, to volunteer their time and effort in representing guardian ad litems in court. It doesn't take a lot of time, but because of the numbers involved, and I don't know what the numbers are per se, but I just know that the system is taxed. And the reason it's taxed is because of methamphetamine. You know, we've got a lot of problems in the Valley that deal with drugs. And when people get hooked into this wicked lifestyle, making whether it's manufacturing or just drug addiction alone, the kids are always the ones who suffer. And suffer they do.
Right here in the Treasure Valley, and we're always horrified by these stories, and we had somebody allude to it a little while ago. You have another local child that has been beaten. You have a couple children that have been beaten to death, unfortunately. Take a look at kids, and they're so innocent, and they have such the world ahead of them. And the trauma of abuse, the trauma of neglect, it's such a horrible crime.
Well, one of the things that I've done to try to throw in my hat into the ring in helping children is I've been an assistant baseball coach, I'm an assistant football coach, I'm an assistant scoutmaster. I always emphasize
assistant,
the word assistant.
Assistant talk show host.
There you go, assistant. And I was asked the other day, well, why is it that you always assist, but that you don't step up as the head. I said, I love working with the kids, but those that are head coaches end up also having to deal with the parents. And right. I'd rather just spend my time teaching children and working with children rather than dealing with the politics.
Quickly, we've got 30 seconds. Does Adrian Peterson play? Should he play or not?
Well, bottom line, there's a presumption of innocence, albeit the internet's pretty much built the case against him. I really don't know the answer. It's an element of contract. We talked about this in the break. Some people have moral clauses in their contracts, and it's a degree of severity. They nuked Ray Rice, you know, basically because of the severity of the punch. These photographs are very wrenching. So I think in the end,
sure,
he's going to play.
All right, Alan O. Morton, attorney at law. Thank you. Quickly to traffic at 580KIDO. Hello. 7:59 coming up next, Fox News on the radio, and then we'll seek more answers from you, our experts. 73 in Meridian, thank you for starting your day with us. By the way, no flipping. 580 KIDO.